And now, Skip Andrews.
I want to thank you for listening today, and I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. We'll be reading part of that psalm in just a moment. And our lesson today will be based upon one of the words in our reading, and that word is afflicted. We'll talk about what our problems can do for our appreciation for the Word of God. Now let's go to our reading from Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72, and listen for the word afflicted. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. I chose the word afflicted to look at these eight verses because our afflictions lead to many responses in our hearts, and sometimes they actually are used as an excuse to turn away from answers that can help. And I'm talking about answers that are in the Bible to all kinds of afflictions, troubles, difficulties in life. And so my question is, how did this author feel about the Word of God in light of the fact that he knew he had been afflicted, and at least some of those problems were of his own doing? Some were as a result of what other people did, but they were problems nonetheless, and they needed solutions. So how did he feel about God's Word in light of that? And that's a good question for me to ask myself. How do I deal with the Word of God in light of my problems? Do I even approach it? Do I turn against God and His Word when I have troubles? Or do I turn to Him? God is one who keeps His Word. This text says that. It tells us that His Word is useful for our lives. It brings us back when we're afflicted if we turn to it correctly. It has a good author. God is its author. It's something that stands between us and those who would afflict us, even lying about us. It, as a word, is a source of joy in evil situations. It solves problems. It's valuable. All of those things can be learned from these verses, Psalm 119, 65 through 72, and all of them can relate to our troubles and trials in life and how we use or don't use the Word of God when we have these problems. So let's think about these eight verses for just a few minutes. He says, "You've dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word." God does want to deal with us. He does want to deal kindly with us, and He teaches us in His word how He will do that. That is, in all the various circumstances of life, God has information about how He's going to deal with us, help us, bring us through it, and make us useful for His name's honor and glory. And all that's in the Word of God. And if we are servants of His, as the writer claims to be, then we will look at God's Word so that we can let it lead us through these situations. And that's why He wants to have good judgment, good knowledge. He wants to use God's Word correctly, not just to know His Word, but to use it the way it ought to be used. Too many people today want to do what's right without having knowledge, without having common sense from the true and living God. But His commandments will help us do that correctly, not just do the right thing according to somebody's idea, but actually do the right thing. And if we do that is by searching the Scriptures, we will be able to not only believe His commandments, but to use good judgment in the various issues of life, including the times when we do wrong. He says, for example, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Sometimes afflictions are brought upon us by the providence of God to bring us back to the pathway of safety. And God has said in His Word that He will chastise us. Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Testament has a long section devoted to helping us understand that as a father, He will chasten us, correct us, discipline us when we are astray to bring us back. And that's what His motive is. And so the writer says he's happy about that now that he looks back on it and sees what really was involved. And so he says, you're good and you do good, as he talks to God. And, you know, when we pray to God, we need to talk to Him about how He really is, not just go to ask Him for things or even to thank Him for things, but to talk to Him about who He is. Praise Him for who He is. You are good. Tell that to God, and you do what is good. Tell that to Him when you pray, and then continue to walk in the statutes of God. On the opposite side of this, he says, the proud have forged a lie against me. They have plastered the walls with false information, is what this actually means in the original language. It's like you walk in a room, and the room has walls, and the walls are covered with lies about you that people have worked hard to write and design so that they can make you look as bad as possible. Well, what do you need as insulation against that? You need the precepts of God to keep on doing whatever God says, and He says here to do it with my whole heart. That's what I intend to do, and I will do in these situations. Well, that's an affliction, isn't it? To walk in and find out that you've been lied about repeatedly by people who are working hard to make sure that their lies make sense to somebody, that's an affliction. He says their heart is as fat as grease. That is, it's horrible looking. It's disgusting. And it is to God, and it is to someone who knows he's been lied about. And that leads him to deciding how he's going to respond. He says, I delight in your law. That's how I will respond. I will find great delight in the law of God that is meaningful to me and not meaningful to people who have done such horrible things. Think about the life of Christ or Paul as examples of people who have had that sort of thing done to them, where manufactured lies were used to attempt to destroy them in their work in God's kingdom, in God's way, in God's plan of things. And yet, in both cases and many others, Jesus and Paul delighted in God's law, and that brought them through the horrible situations that had been designed by the devil and his workers. Then he says, it's good that I've been afflicted. In verse 67, he had said that he'd been afflicted after he had gone astray. Now he's saying it's good, because that affliction, that chastisement, that correction, that difficulty in life, whatever it was, led him, because of his wholehearted attitude, to look at the Scriptures, to find his way through that situation, learning God's commandments, His statutes, His precepts, and then following them through the difficulty. Our reading today ended with the statement, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. We live in a world which is just like every other generation, where people value gold and silver as symbols of things, wealth, power, influence, more than anything, much more than the law of God, they value those things. And yet, correctly seen, the standard we ought to adore and appreciate and love is the written Word of God. I would like to encourage you to develop a greater appreciation every day for what the Bible actually is. Psalm 19 is like an abbreviated appreciation of God's law in comparison with this great Psalm 119. I want to read the end of Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and shall be innocent of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I encourage you to think carefully about what the Bible can do for you in afflictions. But at this point in time, I would like to encourage you to let the Bible be your guide out of sin if you're not out of it, by afflicting your soul over your sin, so that you will turn away from sin in faith in Jesus, being willing to confess His name before men, and then to be immersed, to have your sins washed away and added to the church that He purchased with His own blood. You can find wonderful examples of how people did this and were saved from sin in such places as Acts chapter 2, Acts 8, Acts 16, Acts 22. Read the whole chapter and see God's way for bringing you out of sin. Thank you for listening today.